She's a wonder in my soul. I feel that, y'all.
Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel is on your radio.
I'm thirsty.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord. In Senla and in Miss Lou.
My soul. Come on, mama, and tell me what he's been to you.
Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast. Brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church. Pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II. One church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all.
In the wonderful name of Jesus, your son, we say thank you for the privilege of coming together to study your word. Let the Holy Ghost deal with us each individually and all of us collectively to show and to share with us what you have to say. Let him unfold the truth, illuminate the truth so that we might have understanding of your word, your will, and your way. Now bless every person who's here tonight to study this word. Let the Holy Ghost meet them where they are and then lift them to the place he would have them to be. For your glory and their good, in Jesus' name we pray. And every believer said, amen. Well, will you give God some praise then? You may be seated in his presence. Amen, 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 amen. How many of you know the devil's desire is to conquer by dividing our attention and our affections first from God and then in every other area of our lives so that he can destroy what God has ultimately destined for our lives? How many of you really know that? Now, one of the reasons why this is important to recognize is because a lot of times you don't realize the tricks the enemy uses to try and come against you. And sometimes it's in ways that you least expect and through people you least expect. And so you've got to be able to know the Word of God, which gives us the understanding of God's mind for his people. We don't have to wonder. We don't have to guess. We don't have to try and figure out what God wants for us. It's made plain in his Word. What we do have to do is hear it and heed it, obey it. And that's a difficult place many times, especially when we're used to doing things on our own reasoning and logically coming to conclusions that we're comfortable with. How many of you know the truth is not always comfortable? There is an ancient proverb, Chinese proverb, that says, all true words are not beautiful, and all beautiful words are not true. And so true is that. So many times we like to hear good things and we like to hear sweet things and we like to hear beautiful sounding words, but they're not always true. And then the truth sometimes is very rough and coarse. It may not be what we want to hear, but ultimately it is designed to do what God wants it to do. So I want to talk about divide, that division that is negative. It's not worth it. When you begin to recognize that the ultimate end is that the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy, you're going to recognize that allowing him in your life, in your marriage, in your work or relationship or in your church or in your business or any other place that he can conquer you by dividing you on issues, you're going to realize it is not worth it. All right, one of the things that you're going to recognize, and these are some of the signs that will help you to understand what the devil uses to bring you to that place. Chaos and conflict all always, always, always preludes, always comes before separation. I don't care what area or arena it is, folk don't separate without chaos and confusion, conflict, that kind of thing. It's after that that you wind up realizing, unless we're going to come together, chaos and confliction, a conflict, will be the tools the enemy uses to begin the separation process, which comes then as a step toward bringing things to a final end. Malachi chapter 2 verse 10 says, "Have we not all one Father? Hath not one God created us? Why do we deal treacherously, every man against his brother, by profaning the covenant of our fathers?" Now, one of the things, if you go back, Malachi, the last prophet and the last book in the Old Testament, he's calling out to Israel and about how they have defamed the covenant of God, how they have broken the covenant of God, how they've turned their backs and they've done it their way rather than God's way, and how they have dealt treacherously with their brother man. They have utilized the tactics of the world against family members, people who were a part of the family of God. It's one thing for the world to mess over us. It's another thing for us to mess over us. It's one thing. You expect the world to play games, but you don't expect brothers and sisters of the faith to have to play games with you. You expect the world to do you wrong. That's their nature. But you don't expect a brother and sister to do you wrong. You expect the world to lie on you, talk about you, mistreat you. It's that's what they do. That's who they are. But you don't expect that out of a brother and a sister. Y'all, some quiet. The devil must really be on y'all tonight. I'm dealing with reality here because I don't want you to see this and know this, because that spirit is what's going to destroy you, not your brother, not your sister. It's going to destroy you, because here's what the truth of the matter is. It starts to divide you first from God. See, because if he can pull you away from God, then he can make your mouth say anything he wants it to say. He can make your mind believe anything he wants it to believe, and he can make you act out of the will of God. So Malachi asked the question, why do we treat one another so treacherously? You know, I mean, bottom line is, in family, it don't matter what our issues are, we recognize that at the end of the day, that's my brother, that's my sister. I love my brother, I love my sister. Yeah, we may get into a moment of disagreement, but in the ultimate end, we're gonna love one another. They need something, I got it, they got it. I need something, they got it, I got it. We're family. But then you find out when you allow the enemy to get in, it is not that way. And you'll see family fighting family. Fathers against children, children against father, mothers against daughters, daughters against mother. The Bible said it would come that way, because when we lose ourselves in chaos and conflict and do not resolve them, we miss God. Look at this, Matthew 12 and 25. I want to show you some synoptic truths in the gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. John is not one of the synoptic writers, and synoptic meaning similar in nature. And I'm going to see what Matthew, Mark, and Luke says about this issue. Matthew 12 and 25 says, "And Jesus knew their thoughts, and said unto them, Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself," what? "Shall not stand." All right, let's look and see what Mark says about this. Third chapter, 24th and 25th verses says, "And if a kingdom," look at this, "be divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand." Verse 25, "And if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand." Well, let's look at see what Luke has to say about this. Luke chapter 11, verse 17. "But he, knowing their thoughts, said unto them, Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house falleth." Now listen at this. They may have taken a little twist here and there, but they basically said the same thing. If you don't get it together, you're going to fall apart. Why is this important to know? Because we, through the unction and through the urges of the enemy, are used to tear us up or down. See, enemy really don't have to fight much. All they got to do is get you to fight. When we look at us as an ethnicity, I mean, what has been said about us? You know what? We don't have to kill the blacks. All we got to do is step back and do what? Come on, you heard it. But let them kill themselves. Because we can't love one another. We are not fighting the enemy. We're fighting ourselves. Shooting up, killing up one another. Because we don't understand who we really are. And so you need to realize the enemy is, again, within doing all of the conflict and the damage. We're doing that to ourselves. Black on black crime is higher than it has ever been. We're free now. We're supposed to be liberated now. And what are we doing? You didn't hear about all of that when we were in slavery. No, and we were appalled when we heard about, we're Black History Month, we hear about lynchings and we hear about killings and we hear about the mistreating and the misfortunates of our brothers and sisters. I mean, it brought about outrage, but we're not outraged now when we've got our own children doing killing in schools and bringing guns. And I mean, everything now is with deadly force. We ain't gonna talk about it. We wanna end it. You know, and then because we don't want to go out and work, we want to go and take somebody else's who's gone out and worked. And we got mamas and daddies letting our children grow up to be 20, 30, 40 years old in the house, no job. They got to go out and work, but they stay home, watch television, eat up all the food and all the rest of that, biggest houses themselves, and yet they ain't doing nothing. Ma, I need a new pair of shoes. You 27 years old, Negro, get out and work and get you some. No, that's my baby. That's my baby. I'm gonna get my baby. Okay, see, that's the kind of stuff we foster. And everybody else ain't gonna put up with your baby. So you need to teach your baby to be a real man. To do what he needs to do, because nobody who's worth anybody is going to want to be with. That's why your baby will be there until it's time for you to go to glory. And I hope the house is paid for, because he or she will be outdoors. Ain't nobody going to take them in like that. And you don't realize you've done that yourself. So I'm just trying to help you understand these things. Again, I want you to see this. Chaos and conflict will always bring about separation, because a house divided against itself shall not stand. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Three different accounts. Matthew says that it's divided against itself, it shall not stand. Mark says it cannot stand. And Luke says if it's divided against itself, it falleth. That simple. It falleth. Somebody say chaos and conflict. Leads to separation. Now, look at it for what it is, see it, and you may even recognize it in your own life and things that are going on as well. So when we move from chaos and conflict that brings about separation, then there must be concord and companionship through synchronization. See, you're going to have to learn how to get on the same page. And it's not just enough to be on the same page, but you're going to have to learn how to get on the same line. And it's not just enough to be on the same line, but you're going to have to learn how to get on the same word. Until you are able to synchronize your hearts and your thoughts together so that you work harmoniously with one another. So that you can realize that you two are working for the same common goal. That you want to see the end result the same. You're not working against one another, but with one another. The word says, Amos 3:3, can two walk together except they be agreed? See, here's one of the problems that we have. People don't understand the power of agreement. It is so powerful both in the natural realm and in the spirit realm. If you do not have somebody who agrees with you, then you will constantly have somebody disagreeing with you. If somebody is constantly disagreeing with you, it constantly emerges and merges conflict and confusion. Every time you say it's this, they say it's that. You say it up, they say it's down. you find something wrong, always and always conflicting with you, it may be a sign of a deeper issue, a deeper problem. But here's what you need to know is this, that you can't make any worthwhile progress not being in agreement. You can't do it. You might go up the road halfway and may not ever complete the rest of the road. Or you might go up there halfway and fall back two times the distance that you went up with confusion and conflict because you are not agreeing together. Here's what you need to know. You can disagree without being disagreeable. You can agree that you all are different and have different opinions and that you'll respect each other's differences. You can agree that what you feel is right to you and what I feel is right to me. You can agree that we will both feed each other information sufficient for that person to see it the way that the other person sees it so that we can harmonize our hearts and our minds and our thoughts together. You can agree to say, you know what? I think this is the way that it ought to be, and if you think it should be another way, let's find out whichever is the right and best way and go with it. That, I mean, there's so many ways you can agree. You don't always have to be saying the same thing to agree. But what you decide is that we're going to agree that one way or the other, we're going to take the right way, the highway, the best way, and make this thing work. Because how many of you know it's not always about you? It really is. No, I know you think it may be that way and you're always right, but that's not the way it is because nobody is always right. You may have a good plan, but somebody may have a better plan. But just because you thought of your plan and it was good, you would forfeit the better plan just to say, it's my plan. See, that kind of stuff keeps you from progressing, moving forward, and being blessed at the greatest height. See, one again, you need to realize from the word, how to handle some things. Romans 12, 4 and 5 says, for as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. I may not have your gift. You may not have my gift. I may not have the gift of prophecy. I may not be able to prophesy. You may not have the gift of healing. Somebody else may not have the gift of tongues, or may not have the gift of this, or may not have the gift of that, whatever the case is. But here's what you need to realize. We're still one body. The eyes don't have the gift of hearing. The ears don't have the gift of speaking. I can go on through the body and tell you that everyone that's been designed has been designed to function in its proper place according to the divine design of God. You may want to be hearing, but if you are eyes, you will never have the hearing's job. Now, you may have the ability to, through seeing, see the words, because some people read lips. They're good. I mean, most people, when they have hearing deficiencies, they many times, in addition to sign language, they learn to watch the formation of the lips and can read your mouth. And as long as they can see your mouth, they can see the words coming out of your mouth, though they do not hear them. Well, you can train the eyes to be, you know, capable of doing many things, but you'll never train the eyes to hear. So what am I trying to say? Be happy where you are. Where God has designed you to be, to function and to flow, because you will never be what God has not designed you to be. We see that in so many experiences. Just take for church on Sunday morning. Let's just say, you know what? How many of you believe God gives you what he knows you should have? Okay, for those of you who didn't raise your hands, you don't believe God gives you what you should have. And so maybe that's why some of you may join the choir and then, you know, convince the minister of music to give you a solo part. And it seems like sometime, you know, maybe everybody but you and that person knew that wasn't your gift. Because if it were, it would be a lot different than the way it is. Everybody don't have the gift to sing. Now, everybody have the gift of making a joyful noise. Because that's from an experience of what God has done for you. But just because you make a joyful noise don't mean you can lead a song in the choir. I'm not trying to be funny. I'm trying to be real with you. Because what you don't realize is, you know, God has called all of us to witness, but he hadn't called all of us to preach. And so, you know, don't let somebody call you in that ministry God has not called you. You've got preachers today who are struggling and straining and causing congregations to struggle and strain because somebody told them when they were a deacon they sounded like a preacher. So they upgraded their deaconship to a preachership. And so now, or somebody could testify real good and used to be good in front of folks. You ought to, child, I believe you ought to be an evangelist. Really? You ought to be a missionary. No. See, first of all, you got to understand that God equips you for what he calls you to do. And one of the true signs, the truest signs of God calling you to any ministry is that you have the ability to flow and function properly in that ministry. Every time God calls a person to do something, every time God calls somebody to a ministry, every time God calls somebody for a purpose, he equips them so that they are able to carry out the purpose of his calling. So listen to this. When you aren't in your right place, you hurt and you hurt others who are. And everybody matters who is in their right place. Everybody matters. No big eyes, no little use. You see it from scripture, but you got to be comfortable where you are because if God didn't put you in another place, it's because you can't handle that. That's not what he designed. And if you'd focus more on what God wants you to be rather than what you want to be or what somebody else wants you to be, you would be happy and productive and the body would be better off as a unit functioning and flowing the way God wants it to be. If you took a finger and replaced the finger on the side of your head with the ear and put the ear on the bottom finger, not only does that not look right, but it won't act right. You got a finger sticking out your head. God designed you the way he wanted you to be. And it functions the way. What service would your finger do for you on the side of your ear? It won't do the same as it would on the end of your hand. It sounds funny, but I'm trying to help you to see a pragmatic point. It is simple. It is realistic. When we do it God's way, we benefit. The body benefits. But look at what Galatians chapter 3, verse 28 says. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. Bottom line is whether you are, you know, up at the top of the worship or the work, or you're at the bottom. Every part is important, and we all together are as important as the other. There are no big eyes and no little U's. Again, yes, everything that is functioning in the brain and the head and all is important, but how many of you would disagree and say that the toes are not important down on the feet? Because the truth of the matter is, you need something to transport that head around. You need to be able to get around, function, and flow with ease. And so the feet are designed to carry you and to take you and to go up and to go down and to do things that the brain and the head is not designed to do. But look again. When it says, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus, it literally means God is no respecter of persons. It means to God, you are God's best because God designed you for his purpose. God designed you for his glory. And after that, you then receive the good if you function in your place. Most of us miss our success because we don't know our place. See, your greatest success is going to be when you're in your rightful place. When you're in your rightful place, the Bible makes clear everything you do will prosper. You really want to know how to prosper? Get in your place. Where you are here will open up doors there and there and there and there and there. You want this, you want that? Get in your place and God will bring Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things shall be added unto you. Does that mean you go out running looking for them? No. Get in your place and they will find you. They will show up when they're supposed to show up. You don't even have to look for them. You don't have to plan it. Just be where you ought to be, and God will start sending to you everything not only that you need, but that you desire. And look at this. You didn't lose no sleep plotting, planning, scheming, conniving, doing any of that mess. God sends you the best that you could ever ask for right while you're in your place. You miss God because you're not where you are supposed to be. And God's not going to waste his best when you are not in your place. God has a full picture waiting to pour it out. But if your glass is not under it, he's not going to just pour and let it waste on the floor. He's a wide God, a very wise God. He's got more abundance than you could ever handle, but he's not going to waste it. Somebody says, well, doesn't he say in the 23rd Psalms, my cup runneth over? Yeah, but right after this, you recognize that the reason for the overflow was for a purpose and a message to the enemy. What was that message? That what God blessed his people with, to have in abundance, that there is more where that came from. Remember, he prepared a table in the presence where? Of his enemies. Well, if he prepared the table before him in the presence of his enemies, what was the purpose of it? So the enemy could see God was doing this, not man. See, when God opens some doors for you and some big doors for you, make ways for you, and he does it in the presence of your enemy, it is not so it could be hid. It is so that they could see God is doing it, and if God is doing it, God can take care of it. And if God can take care of it, there's nothing they could do to undo what God is doing. Because if they could have stopped it or blocked it, you never would have had it. I know you can look at your life right now and you're not where you're going to be and you're not where you want to be, but I do know you know some people who wish you weren't where you are. I know every one of us know some people who wish we were not where we are right now. And this is what I love, if they can't stand it now, if they're hating now, if they can't stand to look at you now, you make them sick now. They might as well go and plan their funeral. Because they're going to die when God opens up all of the blessings. listen again. I want you to see this. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. When it's all said and done, all of our minis, all of our differences, all of our fragmentations, and all of our parts, when it's all said and done, work for one common good. And this is so important to remember and to realize, because God has broken down everything into parts. I've shared this with you so many times. Every year that you look back on your life and count as one year, every one of them had 365 days. Every one of those days had months. Every one of those months had weeks. I mean, and you just break it all the way down until it's down to its minutest term. And every one of them were filled with the same amount of time. But listen at this. He never gave it to you all at once. He broke them all down into parts. All of them. If you've been here 1 year, 50 years, every one of those years were all broken down into parts. Why? Because he knew you couldn't handle it all in one day. With God, 1,000 years are as one day. And one day is as 1,000. He can handle it. But how many of you have ever had so much to happen in one day, you were just glad for that one day to be over? Have you ever had a day like that? Amen. I mean, how many of you have had so much stuff to happen, look like after one thing happened, comes another thing happened, after another thing, look like before you could rebound, look like something else was going bad, and you're like, Lord, if one more thing happens, I don't know if I could handle it. You know why he didn't let it happen? Because you couldn't handle it. And when Job had the experience Job had, and that's why we are wowed and awed at what happened to Job, because many of us never could have stood under that kind of stress, that kind of tension. We get a flat tire and we about to crack up. It ain't that serious. But to you and what you may be going through, man, that could have been the worst thing that happened to you. You couldn't have afforded to hear no news like Job heard. All in one day? I mean, your entire life is changed in one day. and yet